Our Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program, we are recording a couple of these for January 8th and January 15th, and the mayor came in, like, you just came out from a run, and then you are going to be running another national event.
Dave, I'm training for a cross-country run. It's a national cross-country race in Richmond at the end of this month. I was trying to arrange my training schedule and my duties as mayor today, and I had to run early. I don't normally run in the morning, but had to work everything into a schedule, and it turned out great. Your heart rate, kind of like when you're shoveling snow when you run, it increases too. So you need to really be prepared before you go out and run in cold weather.
All right, let's recap what happened. Our power issues, how are we doing with that cold Arctic blast? It really affected us, and the need for power increased.
Just when I was talking about running in cold weather, it just struck me. Our electrical crews and water department people, they were out working during that big freeze in temperatures from around 0 to 7 below 0. And one of our linemen actually had a thermometer and recorded when he was out working temperature 9 below 0. But they were out there working, and their challenge was then Duke Energy, along with Georgia Power and all of the utilities in the Southeast, were struggling to generate enough power. So they were having those rolling blackouts and heavy loads also. We buy our power from Duke Energy Wholesale. Our crews were working throughout the night in that terrible weather, and they were making adjustments to our grid. Wind blows a limb on lines where it's going to cause the lines to short out. Those breakers start to go on and off to make sure that the limb is cleared or the load peak has dropped down. If the breakers, I know they don't think, but they're programmed that if that load keeps increasing, they shut it down. And our folks were managing the load as best they could. And because we have these experienced linemen that have been working with us and know the system, they were pretty much able to keep us up and running while some areas of North Carolina lost power for quite some time. We didn't have that happen. So I really appreciate our utility crews, again, water department people out working in those kind of conditions. It was just amazing the dedication and commitment that our town crews have to making sure that we stay up and running in very difficult times. The big problem that we had was we anticipated some ice, maybe some snow, high winds. Temperatures well below zero were just not anticipated, or we didn't understand what the impact could possibly be. And one of the impacts was a lot of people use electricity for heating. They turned it up to keep warm, and that's understandable. A lot of us, like Sally and myself, we have electric space heaters, and of course we heat with central gas heat. We wanted to keep warm like everyone else, so when you turn those small devices on, they draw a lot of current. We were faced with a high demand at Christmas time. I wrote in my article, I think we were knocking on the door of 15 megawatts. In the past, we've gotten up to 12 megawatts, which was pretty much at what we thought would be the capacity. But we were really drawing a lot of electricity from Duke Energy to power our grid.
We were discussing about how in the short term, it's good to have a small electrical system like we have. But Duke is saying, you guys are going this power upgrade. We're going to have to upgrade our power station here for you.
And we'd already had conversations about this in late fall. And to Duke's credit, they said, we've been monitoring your usage. You're pressing the capacity of our transfer station where we interface with their lines and purchase the power wholesale from Duke Energy. So they were saying, we're going to have to change our equipment out to help meet your demand. And that's great, and they're going to do that. But in the meantime, we were there just, you know, on the brink of everything coming to an end. And I will just tell you, in the future, I don't mean next week or a few months, but in the years to come, we will have to rebuild some key components to our grid system, upgrade it, because the demand will increase. I think about the hydroelectric plant that came online at Lake Sequoia back in 1929. It was a modern marvel in 1929, and on a good day, it could generate 1 megawatt of electricity. Well, now we're consuming at least 12 on a heavy usage day, and we haven't really gotten the final figures back now, but I think we're going to be close to 15 megawatts. In other words, more than 15 times the power that we did back then.
This was a perfect storm where our water issue, where we were going to empty homes and been some pipes that burst. So what's the water issue now with us?
Good. Our water plant can produce 1.5 million gallons a day. That wasn't the problem. And the quality of the water was just great. What happened was we have a network of tanks, water tanks, like on Satula, Big Bear Pen. Our water department operators monitor the levels of the tanks. And every day when they come in, they'll look at what the tank level is, and they will say, okay, we need to produce so much water to fill the tanks up. So for the next 24 hours or 12 hours, we have plenty of water for our customers. That's a routine. They go in every morning and say, based on how much water was used overnight and where our tank levels are, we have to make 1.25 million gallons of water to supply everybody for this period. It used to be that we'd make 1.2 million gallons, even up to 1.5 million gallons during the summer around the 4th of July. That was kind of the peak time. That has shifted now. They were making 1.2 million gallons during Christmas. And during the big freeze, they started noticing they were about half full, and the more they pumped, the more they stayed half full and going down. So the water people knew that we had a serious problem, that somewhere we had tremendous leaks. And they quickly ascertained, because some people started calling in and saying, I've got a busted pipe in my house and it's gushing water, that we had maybe several hundred homes where broken pipes were just letting the water that they had made go out the house and onto the ground. And that's why they couldn't fill up the tanks. And that's why, if you remember, I came in and said, we have an emergency. Please, if you see a neighbor's house or your house where you know that there's water leaking due to the freeze, call town hall and we'll send a water person out to cut off the water at the meter. And our water crews worked around the clock for several days just securing the cutoff at the meters so we could stop the loss of water. And over a period of about 2 or 3 days, that situation improved to where we went back to normal operation. But it was just an example of the unexpected perfect situation for losing the water. And that is, there were certain houses where the pipes were just not protected enough to handle those kind of below zero temperatures, and they froze. The problem is not when it's that cold, it's when it starts getting a little warmer and the water starts to flow again, and they've been broken. And we had a real, you know, challenge correcting that. So we'll be looking in the water department at what we can do to improve the system. One of the things I'd like to see us do, and we've been working on this, is improve a system of detection so we can better pinpoint where we're losing water. We've been doing that since we activated the dark fiber network, the fiber optic network, and that's the goal, to have a better metering system. We're in the process of replacing all the water meters over the next several years, because the life of a new digital water meter is about a decade, and our meters are past that now, so we will be replacing those meters, and I hope the new meters will be really smart meters that might be able to help us better pinpoint where we have those kind of leaks.
Well, coming up next week on the 15th, we'll discuss some good news, some sidewalk projects that we were talking about underway near Pinecrest, and plus breaking news on AskMayorPat.com. We got a video of you sliding down the fire department pole. Now, that, we got to see that.
I'll give you the full story on that, Steve.
Okay, next week. We'll see you then.